Is it a good morning? It is a morning that is filled with the grace of Jesus. Let's stand on our feet this morning to worship as one in his presence. We've been here all morning, many of us, just delighting in all that we've prepared, the adults, the youth, to give glory to the Lord. And we want to invite you into that, to engage with heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all that is poured out this morning is for him and him alone, because he alone is worthy. And this was mentioned a couple Sundays ago, but I was reminded of this yesterday when I opened my Bible to Mark 16. And it was all about the risen Christ. That wasn't what I last left my Bible app on. I don't know why it was on Mark 16, but at the very top it said, he is risen. And it goes through boom, boom, boom. Everything that took place with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how the first person that Jesus encountered after he rose from the grave was Mary Magdalene. And if you know the Gospel of Mark in that chapter 16, it's one of the most consolidated versions of the ending of when Jesus raises from the dead. But there's this really amazing detail that they put in there. And it says he saw Mary Magdalene, the one that he cast seven demons out of. Seven demons. I love that little detail because that shows the power, the love, and the majesty, and the glory of the one who created us. And what was mentioned a few weeks ago is we can't celebrate this amazing baby that was born in a manger miraculously, supernaturally, if there wasn't a resurrection. We would be celebrating a dead God. And we don't celebrate a dead God. We celebrate a risen Savior that came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So we sing this morning with that in our hearts and in our minds as we fix our gaze on the one that loves us most, who gave everything for us, all that we need pertaining to life and godliness, everything. So if you're hearing this morning and your heart is receiving, step in afresh and anew. I know I am. In this very moment in time, this morning that we're gathering together is different than any time that we've gathered together. So why not step in and take a deep breath and say, Lord, I want to see you in all of your glory. See you rightly. You came in a manger, lowly and meek, but you came so that you could die and raise and destroy the works of the devil and ransom many. So this morning, Father, we say thank you. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. You are worthy of all of our praise, of all of our lives, and every breath that we take. It all belongs to you, and it's all for you. We bless you, and we invite your holy and majestic presence to be here with us. It would mean nothing if you didn't come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Be blessed and be honored this morning. And may every heart that is gathered here this morning receive this truth and encounter your love in a deep way as we come before you. Come, all who are faithful. Come and adore him. Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King.
the grave, there's only one who's worthy of all praise. There's only one strong enough to save. There's only one who overcame the grave. There's only one who's worthy of all praise. In his hands and in your hands, the keys of death and hell, and in your name, a power that can heal. And by your blood, our sins are washed away.
You are counsel.
Continue singing that for a long time. That so moved my heart in this joyous season. And we invite all of you to join our choir here as we're going to sing a few more numbers. And we're excited. We've been working on this for a little bit. And if there are anyone out there that loves to sing tenor, we invite you. And we need some sopranos and altos and so forth. So we're just so glad you're here.
Amen.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward, evermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Can I hear a loud yes?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. We are here to adore our King of Kings today, the one who so humbly came down as a babe to come to this world for us. So first and foremost, thank you for being with us here today. It's so good to see so many of your faces here with us. And we just want to continue celebrating the King of Kings. So you're welcome to have a seat. And I'm going to call up the youth dance team to come up here and join me. And we just want to continue this time to give him praise and give him glory.
His perfect plan, King of heaven, child so small, Son of God and man. The shepherds see a great big light, heaven sings a hymn by night. Glory to the highest King, Son of God and man. Hear the angels sing to the newborn King, shine, they shine so bright. Darkest night, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down for you and me. Christmas time is here, Christmas time is here. It is Christmas time.
Just want to call up all the little guys, third grade all the way down. All right, come on up, guys. We're going to present Born as a King, and I love working these little ones because the fun is in the imperfection. But we're going to do an awesome job. And I'll be right here helping, okay? All right.
by. All of the earth rejoice. It's Christmas time.
This is so fun, just celebrating Jesus and rejoicing in the King of Kings. And I've just been listening to worshipful Christmas music this week, and just I'm just overcome with how holy he is, and how we get to just worship and celebrate the holy God who came to earth because he loved us. And so we have a drama that the youth worked together to write. This is a lot of their ideas that came out in this drama, and we worked together, and we have a little bit of setup to do, so wait a minute while we get into Christmas drama. Let me think through what needs to happen for this Christmas drama. Carly's coming up. That's one of the keys.
Check, check. No, is mine on? I can't see.
I don't know how you
power. See the power button?
This
Is it going this way? All right.
You do it.
Yeah.
Good.
John.
Ready?
Yeah. Should I go?
That's all of them.
That's it? Where's all the rest of them?
Wait a minute. Don't you remember what we read in the Bible yesterday?
No.
Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be seated upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Most High, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
What does that verse have to do with our Christmas presents? I mean, I know that verse is talking about Jesus, and Christmas is about Jesus, and presents are about Christmas, but wait, I'm confusing myself.
Son, what your mother is trying to tell you is that everything we do on Christmas, including giving each other gifts, should help us remember the greatest gift of all, the Son of God, a child named Jesus.
Sit down, everyone. Let's read it together. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her,
"Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great in the house of David, and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
"How can this be? For I am a virgin."
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now also, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, now in the sixth month, for who is called a barren. For with God nothing is impossible."
"Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word."
"Oh yeah, there's two babies in this story. Elizabeth's baby is John the Baptist. Now there's someone I'd like to meet. He ate bugs and lived in the desert."
"Ew, not me. I'd like to meet Mary. She was so sweet and good. I bet she was amazing."
"Well, we can't actually meet them, but when we read the Bible, God can bring it alive to us."
"Yeah, just close your eyes and listen and let God speak to your heart about what it must have been like. They were real people, you know. And they did not know the end of the story, just like we do.
They had to trust God through the whole process, and it wasn't always easy."
"And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child."
"Joseph, I can't keep walking. I really think it's time for the child to come. We need to find a place to stay."
"Let me ask someone. Do you live here in Bethlehem? I need to find a place to stay."
"No,
Look, there's an inn."
Oh boy, two more strangers. I expect you're looking for a room. Well, you're too late. Everything is full. A lot of people are here for the census, you know.
But she's pregnant, and the baby's going to come.
Please, sir.
Well, in that case, you can stay in my stable. I know it's not much, but it's all I have.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Look, it's Mary and Joseph.
Shh.
Hello? I already told you, it's your turn to wash the sheets.
Oh, no, I did last night and the night before. It's his turn.
Whoa, not me. I'm getting sleep tonight.
Well, the two of you better figure it out, because it's definitely not me. I have plans.
Like what?
Like...
Do not be afraid, for I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and this will be a sign to you.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Whoa!
Well, there goes my sleep.
And there goes my plans. We've got to go to Bethlehem and see what has happened. After all, the Lord has made it known to us. Have you seen anything like that?
Nope, and I have a feeling we haven't seen anything yet. Let's go see the Savior. Do you guys know where... Oh.
There he is.
Everett, there he is, the perfect gift.
Our wonderful counselor, the mighty God.
Our everlasting Father.
The Prince of Peace.
Wow, he's absolutely amazing.
All I can say is glory to God, glory to God. I know it, I'm never going to be the same anymore.
I'm so thankful that God chose us to go and worship him.
Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told the concerning this child, and all these who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
It was 8 days. 8 days were completed and were for the circumcision of the child, and his name was called Jesus, the given name by the angels, before he was conceived in the womb.
His name is Jesus.
I think I get it now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes, all of our loving and giving is because of him and points back to him. The Bible says that we loved him because he first loved us.
And we believe in him. He is our Savior, the Most High, the King of Kings.
Oh,
one of the kids' projects, the snowflakes behind, we made them in class, and each kid wrote something on the back of them. So if you tend to not come here, then we want you to stay after church, and the kids will be passing them out. And kids, make sure you stay as well.
So everyone, I wanted to share just a worship song to the Lord, and this is a little change from what was going to happen this morning, so just want to offer it to the Lord, and I don't get the chance all the time to play my harp, so we wanted to just celebrate today with it.
Good morning. It was a great performance put on by Rachel. Very lovely, very lovely, very nice. So, good job with that. Very, very amazing. But I wanted to talk about how the correlation between Christmas and communion and how they're connected. And so Christmas is supposed to be a time about Jesus' birth and all the things that he's done in his life and how he's impacted everyone and how he's helped and loved and forgiven and just really done everything for us and helped in so many different ways. And we also have communion, which is supposed to be forgiveness for us and that he died on the cross for our sins and that everything that he has done was in love for us and it was in love for everyone here. And I just want to be able to take this opportunity to thank everyone for being here and that you can be a part of this church or be a part of Sunday with us. And I want to pass it on to Joseph.
So for me, I've been able to attend a school that allows us to study the Bible as a subject. And recently we went over the parallels between Jesus and Moses in the Exodus and just comparing the two and seeing how they reflect one another and how the Exodus was supposed to show us or be a reflection of what was to come as far as the crucifixion. The person that did come to save everybody was born, and all the male children were actually killed by the ruling person of the time, but due to God's grace, Moses and Jesus were sent to Egypt, or more specifically, different parts of Egypt, but to Egypt. But also the way that the Israelites were saved, as remembered by the Passover, are also different things that go with the crucifixion. One, the unleavened bread was the body of God that was broken and for our sacrifice. The blood of the lamb that was smeared on the doorsteps, sparing all the children, the firstborns from death, was the blood of Jesus that he shed for everybody so that we can have eternal life and not eternal death. So I just encourage us this season to reflect on the crucifixion and the birth of Jesus and how God's always has always planned this, and he wants you to be part of it. He wants all of us to partake in it. So just with communion, we have small cups under your seats. So just take time with your family or whoever you're sitting with, whoever you came with. Just take some time to reflect on Jesus, and whenever you feel ready, preferably after we pray for salvation, if anybody has not done that yet, we just ask you to partake in communion.
So, yeah, Christmas is coming up really soon, and Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, as we've been talking about, and the birth of Jesus was just a precursor to the death of Jesus. And the death of Jesus is why he came to this earth, because he loved us so much. And for us to have a relationship, to be with him, he needed to die. There needed to be a perfect sacrifice. Like in the Old Testament, like Joseph was talking about, there was sacrifices, and that was supposed to cover their sin, but it wouldn't cover it for eternity like we needed to be to have a relationship with Jesus. But Jesus came and died as the perfect lamb, as a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And I just want to read Isaiah 53 right now. And it's a prophecy by Isaiah that just clearly outlines how beautiful the birth leading up to the resurrection is of Jesus. So, this is in TBT. Who has truly believed our revelation? To whom will Yahweh reveal his mighty arm? He sprouted up like a tender plant before the Lord, like a root in parched soil. He possessed no distinguishing beauty or outward splendor to catch our attention, nothing special in his appearance to make us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of deep sorrows, who is no stranger to suffering and grief. We hid our faces from him in disgust and considered him a nobody, not worthy of respect. Yet he was the one who carried our sickness and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. But it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole, and in his woundings we found our healing. Like wayward sheep, we all have wandered astray. Each of us has turned from God's path and chosen our own way. Even so, Yahweh laid the guilt of our every sin upon him. He was oppressed and harshly mistreated. Still, he humbly submitted, refusing to defend himself. He was led like a gentle lamb to be slaughtered, like a silent sheep before his shears. He did not even open his mouth. By coercion and with a perversion of justice, he was taken away. And who could have imagined his future? He was cut down in the prime of life for the rebellion of his own people. He was struck down in their place. They gave him a grave among criminals, but he ended up instead in a rich man's tomb, although he had done no violence nor spoken deceitfully. Even though it pleased Yahweh to crush him with grief, he will be restored to favor. After his soul becomes a guilt offering, he will gaze upon his many offspring and prolong his days. And through him, Yahweh's deepest desires will be fully accomplished. After the great anguish of his soul, he will see light and be fully satisfied. By knowing him, the righteous one, my servant will make many to be righteous, because he, their sin bearer, carried away their sins. So I, Yahweh, will assign him a portion among a great multitude, and he will triumph and divide the spoils of victory with his mighty ones, all because he poured out his life blood to death. He was counted among the worst of sinners, yet he carried sin's burden for many and intercedes for those who are rebels. I just think it just captures it in a whole new sense, in a whole new picture. And my favorite part is when it says he was cut down in the prime of life, when things were supposed to be all good and great for the rebellion of his own people, us. We rebelled against him, and he was cut down for us. He was struck down in our place, and then he was crucified on the cross for the things we did. And that just makes me want to do something for him or make it up to him or something. It just feels like we've done everything wrong, and he had to fix it for us. But he did that so that we could have a relationship with him, and that's what he really cares about. It says, heaven rejoices for one sinner who enters the kingdom more than nine righteous men who stay pure. And I just think that's the reason for Christmas and the reason for the season. It all leads up to his crucifixion, which was for us, because of his love for us. So if anyone right now just has not fully given their life to Jesus, just pray this prayer with me in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life right now, fully and completely. I make you the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of all my sins and all the things I've fallen short. Take away all the guilt and shame I feel. Lord, I thank you so much for giving your blood and dying on the cross for me, for my sins, and raising from the dead, conquering death, and now thank you for being seated at the right hand of God in power so that you can help me. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to live inside of me right now as I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this would be a great time, if you have prayed that prayer of salvation, to take communion and spend time with your Creator.
It's so amazing that we're in God's family because He's our Father and He loves us so much and He doesn't want us to have pain or to have sickness or any problems. So when Jesus was on the earth, He healed so many people, and we've been able to see that today because in Hebrews 13:8 it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He's the same, He does the same things. And in the Bible, He healed so many people, and we've been able to see that happen. And one example from my life is when a couple years ago at Greenlight Missions, me and Ellie were able to pray for someone with 27 years of rotator cuff shoulder issues, and they were healed by God. It was just so amazing, and it encouraged our faith. It's just God loves His people and wants us to live for Him, and He doesn't want us to have problems with our bodies that He made. And so if anyone has any pain or sickness or any problems, injuries, I want you to put your hands up so we can pray for you. And anybody around you, can you pray for them and lay hands on them? Father, thank You for Your love for each one of us, and thank You that You don't want us to have pain. I pray that You would strengthen all of our bodies to do Your work in this world. And I just pray that You would help us to be able to be Your hands and feet in the body of Christ, and that You would strengthen our bodies so that we could do that. I pray for complete strengthening for every joint and ligament, and that You just help where there's any problems, Father God, that You'd heal everybody in any broken bones or any sickness, or anything, Father God. Just thank You that You know what it is for everyone and that You want to heal them. And so I thank You, Father. Thank You for Your healing, and thank You for how good You are for all of us. So does anyone feel a change in their bodies?
Okay, so when I was just listening to everyone speak and listening to Jamie sing, I really felt the Holy Spirit telling me to share this verse with y'all. And it's John 15:13. There is no love greater than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I just felt called to lead or to tell you guys about this part of my life that was so monumental. About a year ago, I was really in probably one of the lowest parts of my life. A lot of events have led to that place of just feeling heartbroken, feeling lonely, feeling like there was no place to go, feeling powerless. But this is probably one of the verses that, you know, got me through that time. And I think it's so important to realize that When we were singing O Holy Night, there was one verse that was talking about how Jesus was born in such a lowly place in a manger, and he was here to be a friend to us, right? And so I just want to encourage everyone that, like, Jesus is here to be a friend to all of us, no matter who we are and where we come from. And one thing that was holding me back from salvation before I was walking with Christ was I felt like I wasn't worthy enough or I wasn't good enough to receive this salvation or to receive this truth. But after, you know, reading through the book of John, which I highly encourage everyone to do here, I was really encouraged to see that, you know, Jesus died for all of us. He died for all of our sins. And if he clothes the flowers in the field so beautifully, how much more will he clothe us, right? Like, that's how good he is. And that's what he did for me. And I just want to encourage you that that's an offer that's open to every one of you today. And so I just wanted to pray that out. So, dear God, thank you so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. Thank you that this is an offer that is open to every single one of us from the day we were born to the day we die. And thank you that it is always open to us no matter what we go through in life or who we are. And God, I thank you that you laid yourself down in such a lowly place, that you're beaten on the cross, that you had thorns on your head so that we could receive eternal life and salvation. And God, I thank you that everyone here today is able to receive the Holy Spirit and is able to experience the good things that you do. And I thank you that you are the same God then and you're the same God now, and then you can do all things. So in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
For this time today, I was asked to write a poem or something that God gave me. And as I was trying to connect things to Christmas and Jesus and find a way to connect all of that, the word that just kept coming to me was expectations. Expectations that people give on to you that you just know they have, or there's something in us that has expectations for ourselves. And during Christmas time, we can get lost in the expectations of, I have to get presents for this person and this person and this person, and I have to get this ready for this person and that person. And so this is what just came to me. And also the words that they say influence our thoughts of, well, this person wants this, but this person wants this, but I was asked to do this. And so what came to me was a bit of a longer thing, but this is what God put on my heart. Broken, afraid, alone. The words of this world are like a shovel digging a pit. And as these words come up more and more, the pit gets deeper and deeper. Once you let these words get to you, you start to fall into this pit and believe what the devil says. You sit there in the pit and believe every word that comes out of his mouth. But the Lord our God, unlike many others, isn't afraid to climb down into the pit and give you a hug that you need and say something that lifts your head into a light that you forgot had ever existed. A simple word and a simple phrase. He calls you by your own name and says, do not be afraid. He lifts you out of that pit and shines his light into your life. And as you let his light shine and develop your relationship with him, you learn that you are not broken, but you are beautiful. You don't have to be afraid, but you can be brave. And you are really never alone, because he's always there with you. Because when no one else will climb into the pit, he always will. And when you are standing at the edge, just remember the greatest gift of all. A love bigger than any other love. A relationship stronger than any lie. A God higher than any God. A Savior who humbled himself for us. So Lord, I just want to thank you for coming down and humbling yourselves to be with us. And I can't wait to rejoice you this Christmas and thank you for all the great things that you've done and for coming down and dying on the cross so we could have that relationship for you, with you. And thank you for always standing at the edge of the pit waiting for us and holding out your arms for us. Amen.
So, if I'm being completely honest, I had no idea what I was going to say this morning. So, we'll see how this goes. But one of the things that I just keep getting reminded of throughout the entirety of the Christmas season is that Jesus was humble, which it seems kind of obvious. I mean, he's God in heaven. He has everything he could ever want, and yet he came down to the earth for us. But there's so many more levels of it that we just don't really think about, and I keep having to remind myself every year, which one of those is that Jesus came down to earth to live as a humble man, even by human standards, which it does, nothing really compares to life in heaven from earth, but that he came to live as the son of a humble carpenter, which carpenter was not one of the jobs you would expect the king of the world, the savior of all mankind to have. But even the wise men, the wisest men in that time and place were going around and looking for him. And the first place they went to in Israel was King Herod's court because he's a king. I mean, you'd expect him to be at the palace, the ruling place of Israel, but no. He was in Bethlehem. And one of the other things that I really felt being highlighted to me about the humility of Jesus in this Christmas season is that he told the shepherds first. Like, the shepherds were the first ones to know about Jesus' birth, which, when you read in the Bible, it's like, oh, the shepherds, that's nice. I mean, the shepherds are cool, but yeah, but one of the things that I go to a Christian school, so we have chapels every week, and one of the recent speakers that was invited to speak there was talking about how the shepherds were actually some of the outcasts of Israel society. Like, no one wanted to be a shepherd. No one wanted to be a shepherd. No one wanted to be friends with a shepherd. They just were kind of on their own, watching the sheep at night, and that was that. But God specifically brought the angels to see the shepherds, and then the shepherds were the first ones who were made aware of the birth of the Savior of the world. Which, yeah, I just think it's really interesting that God didn't, like, he could have brought the Magi immediately to Jesus and just, like, have given him gold, frankincense, or myrrh, or just have brought Jesus in a different time period altogether. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, by our modern standards, it's not that exciting of a life to be a carpenter and grow up in a village in Nazareth where he ended up and just live out the human life forever. Well, not forever, because he died in the end. And sorry. Yeah. He went through all the struggles that we do and humbly went through them, which one of the verses that was highlighted to me this morning as I was sitting in the back just listening to everything that was going on was Philippians 2:5-11, where Jesus Christ, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That Jesus would die for us, and in the most demeaning way that has ever been around in humanity. Like, the cross was the worst punishment ever. As one of the Bible teachers at my school said, they literally took the word excruciating to describe the cross. Like, that's the only reason we have the word excruciating at all. But it's just so amazing that God was willing to come down from heaven to earth, make himself a man, and then go through all of our struggles, all of our trials, just so that we could know him. And that's what the Christmas season's all about.
Amazing, guys. Well, Isaac preached my message, so you guys ready to pray and go home? You guys can sit. Thank you so much. Don't we have some amazing young people? Starting from the womb, we're kind of amazing from God's perspective. And I'm just really, really amazed at all that our young people did this morning. And just want to say thank you all. You represented Jesus well. He's so proud of you. Thank you to all of those that put a lot of effort and time and heart, lots of heartfelt love to Jesus for just the display today. And so I'm just going to take a short little time to wrap us up here. And but in all honesty, Isaac hit the nail on the head right there. I don't know what I'm going to share this morning. I'm just going to preach Josh's message for him. But we did, you know, we did ask him to ask Holy Spirit. And so, you know. So I was kind of laughing this year. You know, Juliana's been trying to figure out a few things about Christmas. And, you know, in the drama, Everett was kind of, you know, also trying to figure out a few things about Christmas. And I feel... And you liked the drama. So yeah, it's sort of like she goes and she says, Christmas is about Jesus. And then she goes around and she's like, but I don't know who Santa is. And what is Santa? And who's Saint Nick? And do we know him? And who's Mrs. Claus? And is Christmas about Jesus? And so I love it. And I think she's also, you know, at different ages, you also are trying to understand, like, what do these presents really mean? And how can we appreciate them, right? It's very different when you're 4 and you're excited about getting presents, but you probably don't have an idea of what behind the scenes actually happens to get those presents there, right? That's Santa Claus for some, and you know, behind the scenes, what is really happening. But as you get older, you start to appreciate a little more what is going on behind the scenes to make those presents happening. So when you have, for us, a 4-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, I feel like the 16-year-old is starting to feel a little more appreciative, we pray, of what goes into those presents, the cost of Christmas, if you will, right? Not just the money. I mean, when you're filling up your own gas tank, right? You see how much that costs for one tank and how long it takes you, and then you have to do it again and again and again. And for those electric vehicles out there, you don't get left out. You have to plug it in again and again, and that electricity is being paid again and again, right? But not just the money cost, but also maybe you pay a little more attention to those, you know, times when dad didn't get enough sleep because he was working a shift to pay for Christmas. Maybe you're paying a little more attention to the times when mom's taking care of 3 kids all by herself while dad's at work and it's not easy. And, you know, so as we grow and mature, part of the joy of receiving a gift is appreciating the cost that was paid for that gift to be there. And, you know, there's some families that may have more gifts or more expensive gifts, but they don't mean more because they cost more money, per se. There's some families that they may feel like their gifts are meager in comparison. But in some ways, if you think about Jesus, those gifts actually, from his perspective, are of more value because there is more cost to get them there, the sacrifices that were made. And so when we receive the gift of Jesus at Christmas, we do have to understand the sacrifice that was paid to get there, or else we can't receive it properly. And as we mature in our faith, we want to understand the sacrifice of that. But Isaac started thinking about the cost for God to become man. The cost for God to become man. See, I love the Bible because we don't really know this stuff. We don't know how it works. We don't have a clue in our human thinking. But the Bible puts words to what actually happened, that as we study it in the Spirit, and as we're asking Holy Spirit, what does this mean? And we study the words and we read the scriptures, we start to have some words to what this all means. And so I just want to read a few scriptures this morning. And we're going to start out for you, Sarah, in the beginning of the book of John. She said to read the book of John, so we'll just start there. But I love this. In the beginning was the Word. So first off, we could spend half the morning just there. Why Jesus is the Word? It didn't say in the beginning was the Messiah, because the Messiah hadn't come in that form yet. It didn't say in the beginning was Jesus, Yeshua, because he hadn't come in that form yet. He's identified as the Word. I think of it this way. When I have a thought, the Word is the expression of that thought. It's the continuation of that thought, right? Father God is the expression of who God is. It's from beginning to end, Alpha, Omega. He always did exist, always will exist. It's always there. He's always there. He is the, who God is in the most purest sense. But Jesus is the expression of Father. He's the Word. It's a continuation of the thought into the Word and into the action. And so even though God is three parts, he's one in the same. And so Jesus being described as the Word is showing us how closely connected he is to Father and how closely connected Father is to him. You can't have a thought be effective without it being spoken out and then being acted upon. Holy Spirit brooding over the waters, right? The thought of God, the Word, the expression of God, then has to do something. If I just say it and I don't do it, what was it worth? And so God working in this three-in-one unity from beginning of time, here is the Word. Here is Jesus, right? So sorry, we're going to keep going. That was just the first half of the sentence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here the Bible is showing us that there's someone with God in the beginning, from the beginning, and he's God, but he's also with God. He's separate, but the same. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we can also see in Colossians the same idea. I'm just going to jump to that one, Colossians 1:16, real quick. Or if you want to just pull it up. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. So all things were created through him and for him. So even in the beginning of time, we see it's all about Jesus. But he wasn't born yet, right? In the way that we know Jesus. And that's why if you continue back to John in the later in the chapter, it talks about John the Baptist a little bit. But it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. If we think about that for a second, God, the expression of Father God that exists in the form of Jesus, that the entire world, the universe, everything that was created was through him and for him and by him, now becomes flesh. That's like the I don't even know what analogy you can use. That's like the master craftsman becoming a twig. That's like the artist that can design all of this becoming the canvas or the paint. It seems backwards. It's the person that is limitless, putting himself in the very containment that he created. I don't know that there's good words for this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he literally became us and dwelt with us. He tabernacled with us. He set up his tent. He set up his home. He set up his dwelling place. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the whole idea of God becoming a man is just, it leaves you speechless. And in Philippians 2, I'm just going to re-highlight that verse that Isaac read so aptly, because this describes what it takes to do that. In verse 5, that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That word bondservant and taking on the form literally means that he like we take a cloak or something and put it on ourselves. He wrapped himself with flesh and he took on and put his will under the will of another. So he put his will under Father's will when he took on that flesh. I mean, you guys hear Pastor Bill says this all the time, and see if you can remember. He said, you know how much God loves you. He took 6 days for all of creation and 9 months plus for you. But now, let's flip that in reverse. The God who can, in a word, speak. The God who, in 6 days, made all of this. He puts himself in a womb for 9 months. Can you imagine how constricted that would feel as a deity? To somehow mix your DNA with the DNA of a human and trust your Father and trust Holy Spirit, who you know very well, that you're being fashioned in the womb of the very human being that you created. I mean, look at that in reverse. The same God that, yes, he loves you because he took 9 months on you and 6 days in creation, but that same God chose to limit himself and then born, and then live on this earth. And this is why, if we keep reading in the verse, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. So when his will was completely surrendered and enveloped in the Father's will, he was the bondservant of God, the Son of God, equal with God, chooses to be a man and the bondservant of his Father. And you know this because of the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Sweating blood. And so this is why in Hebrews 14, it's, you know, very easy for us to understand this now, hopefully. Not necessarily easy for us to really know the full impact, but we can appreciate why it says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because he lived in a human body the same way we do. But was in all points, he was in all points, men, women. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can appreciate that if God chose to limit himself and put himself in a human body and be made flesh, the humility that that required, the love that that required, the sacrifice that that required, and then live his life as a man in the weakness of human flesh, be tempted and tried to the fullest degree that any man has ever and will ever. There is no man that has or will be tempted, that will be put in situations of shame, be put in physical situations of abuse and beating and suffering mentally, emotionally, physically. It will never happen to the degree that Jesus experienced it. Yet he did it all without sin. He never got offended. He never said, I can't do this anymore. He just bent further down, further enveloping his will in the Father's, further being the bondservant, further saying, not my will. The same God that was with God from the beginning. He could think back and think of the glory that he shared equally with Father in every moment of time. But he did it for you and I because we didn't have the strength, the power, or the ability in our flesh to conquer the sin that we inherited from the fall. We couldn't do it for ourselves. And he didn't do it just for us. He did it as us. Because when he did it as us and for us, then he conquered the devil. Because the devil had authority over mankind because we gave it to him. That's why Jesus came. So he did it because he had to for us. He didn't have to for him. So this is why today on Christmas, we can then go back to Philippians. Back to Philippians 2. And we can complete the beautiful series of verses and how it ends. So after verse 8 that I had read, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. We can then go to the therefore. And this is what we're celebrating, church, this Christmas. This is what the high school and the middle school and the younger than middle school, and the grade school and the preschool and the pre-K. This is the choir and the songs. This is what it all comes down to. It says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That's the angel's song, Gloria. That's the shepherd's prize. That's the wise man's treasure. And today, that's you and I. So when we unwrap the gift of Jesus today, Wednesday, this season, we unwrap it. I pray that we are a little more mature today to see the cost of the gift that we're unwrapping, and therefore we can appreciate it even more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this amazing celebration that we got to partake of as a family. Father, I thank you for each person that participated in it. Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice, the heart, and love. Lord, I thank you that you give us revelation just a little deeper this Christmas. Just a little deeper. To see the cost behind the gift. And as we're celebrating with family, as we're opening gifts, and as we're remembering it all and doing it all in your name, that we'll be able to take some time. We'll even be able to pause in certain moments of the season and say, yeah, I'm remembering right now the cost of the gift. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why don't we all stand? We're going to ring it out this morning with one last song. And God bless you all.
Choir can come on back up. So we just want to bless you as we exit this service today. Thank you so much for coming. We hope you were touched by the love of Jesus and you were able to touch him with your love and your adoration this morning. Just want to make mention, if you notice behind the choir on this back wall, there are these wonderful, big, very creative snowflakes that were created by our children, led by Joe Wheeler. And they have, as Eliana mentioned, they have a really special message on the back of them that they wrote for you. They took time to think about and write out. And so before you leave, we are going to, as we sing this song at the very end, we're going to detach those very quickly, as hastily as we can, and hand them to the children who will come up front and hand them out to each family. So please don't leave without one. They're to bless you, and you can take home and hang somewhere in your house if you'd like. Amen? Amen. Amen. And there's a short announcement at the end. Our very own Pastor Bill has joined us. Now you know we're going out with a bang.
Thank you. Guess what? We have two mics. We have more excitement today. So I wanted to make sure I caught everyone before you went anywhere. So we are going to be doing a community outreach from here. We're going to have some lunch for anyone who wants to join for that. And we're headed down to Skyline Terrace to reach out, to share the gospel, to pray for people. We're going to be caroling as well. We have all those beautiful bags back there full of cookies. So I'm excited about that. So if you weren't sure if you could do it, and suddenly you're like, hey, I am free, come and join us for that. And then also, after that, It's a Wonderful Life. Does anyone know that? Yeah. Well, it's especially a wonderful life with Jesus. So tonight, the doors open at 6, and it starts at 7 p.m. Mike Wheeler and David Wheeler are going to be part of the talent that is going to be putting on the production. So there is going to be an altar call shared. Yes?
Free.
It's free. You do have to sign up online. There's a QR code there, and there's some in the back. But if you'd like to join for that as well, you're welcome to do that and just see what God does and uses us for sharing the gospel. So thank you for being a part of this Christmas celebration morning. It's awesome. Woo! So again, we're going to be just those who would like to come join for the community outreach. We're going to have food in the back here in about 10 minutes, and then we're going to head on down. If you haven't done it before, no big deal. And almost. If you haven't done it before, you're going to be in a group with other people who've done it before. It's a lot of fun. And then again, we'll be ending up, those who are able to It's a Wonderful Life tonight. So Jamie, I'll turn it over to you.
God bless you. We hope to see you Christmas Eve from 5 to 6:30 here on Tuesday. If you made a snowflake, if you made one and you made a message, please come up. Your name is on one of them and you can gift it to somebody here that came to the service. Amen? God bless you and Merry Christmas if you can't come Tuesday. Merry Christmas.
So, and if the youth could help bring some tables and chairs from the back, that would be great.